It's the transfiguration, which is another word for transformation, change. And the church loves the notion of change. It happens over and over again. Baptism is transformation into the body of Christ. It's not acceptance of certain ideas or beliefs as much as it is a transformation into an incorporation into the body of Christ. And we have the Gospel of the Transfiguration comes up twice a year. It comes up in the middle of the 40-day Lenten season. 40 days is all about transformation. 40 years is a biblical lifetime, so it's the death of one generation and the birth of a new generation. It's transformation. They spent 40 years in the wilderness. Nobody who could remember the flesh pots of Egypt got to go into the promised land. It was an entirely new generation. 40 is always symbolic of transformation. Today's feast, August 6th, is 40 days before September 14th, which is the solemnity of the exaltation of the Holy Cross, the triumph of the cross. So those two feasts are bookends of a 40-day season of transformation. So we have to remember, first of all, that the transfiguration is not a change in Jesus so much as it was a change in the three disciples who got to see it. They're having kind of a mystical experience. And it's interesting that the church gives us that first reading from the prophet Daniel in this mystical vision that he has. And he's describing this vision that he has. And when people have mystical experiences, one of the things that's happening is that in prayer, they are letting down their walls of defense that they don't even know they have. These walls of defense that push God out of our lives, that separate us from God. You see, God's will, since before the world began, was that we would be united to God. Not that we would be separate, but sin casts us out of the garden. Sin causes this separation, this disunion between ourselves and God that God never willed. Sin caused that. And so my sin keeps me from knowing God in the way that God wants me to know God. We're the ones with the shut-off valve. God comes at us at 100% force all the time. God isn't fickle. We're the ones who are fickle. We're on again, off again. And so sometimes in deep prayer, the defenses come down and we have a vision, we have an experience of God's union with us that is just so powerful. You can live off of that for weeks, you know. And that's what these three disciples are having. The change is in them, not in Jesus. Jesus was always God. And the physical body of the historical Jesus was one with the eternal Son, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. There was no division between those two natures, the human and the divine nature of Jesus. They are one. And that didn't change at the Transfiguration, but the disciples got to see it. They got the eyes of faith to be able to experience that oneness. But there's another thing happening there. What they are seeing is in one moment both the suffering and the glorified Christ. You see, this happens right after Jesus has predicted his death. He says, "I'm going up to Jerusalem to die." And he tells them that you have to learn how to die as well. And they don't want to hear that. And this is just shortly after Peter has said, "Oh, no, no, we won't let them do that to you." And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." Satan is the tripper, the one who trips us up. And Jesus is on his way to his death, and he will not allow himself to be tripped up by Peter's denial. He's on his way to the cross. He's on his way to his own personal Jerusalem, and he's telling his disciples, that's your way too. The way of the cross is the way to salvation. The way of death is the way to life. We've said here many times, there's nothing new about Jesus dying, because the eternal Son has always infinitely died for the other two persons, and they've died for him. In the Trinity, it's all about dying. It's the complete, absolute, with no reservations, self-offering to the other two and receiving that same absolute self-offering back from the other two. This is divine love. This is love. God is love. There is no other love besides this. And so the transformation we often speak of in the liturgy, it's always about dying. Even though we may not want to hear that. But it's also about hope. And so the transfiguration happens after the prediction of Jesus' death to give those three disciples hope. Hope that there is life beyond death. Hope that our trials and tribulations and our losses and our failures and our griefs and our sufferings will not conquer us, because God is more powerful than all of that. We are the people in this world who are filled with that hope. And we build that hope and we strengthen it every time we come here and do this wonderful ritual action that commemorates his dying and joins our own sufferings and our own deaths to his, and it all gets laid on this altar as a sacrificial offering to the Father. And that's absolutely transformational. And it may not seem so in the short run. You have to be as old as me and look back over 40 years so that you can say, oh wow, I have come quite a ways. My journey to the kingdom is far more complete than it was 40 years ago. You can't look back yesterday and see the transformation, but it has been happening. And it happens because we're here. And we have to trust that, and we have to live in that hope that God's grace and God's love is more powerful than my sin. Even my sin and my stubbornness and the blockages that I put up to transformation, they can't stop God loving me. And love is transformational. Love is powerful. There's nothing more powerful on this earth. And the more I do this together with you, the more I believe that, the more my hope is strengthened in eternal life.